brothers and sisters. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's good to see you, Sister Rita. Amen. Shoulders all good. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand as we approach the Lord in prayer this morning. Amen. We ask Brother Kennedy if he'd lead us to the Lord in prayer this morning.
Almighty God, Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
We love you, Lord.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord.
Yes.
We praise you this morning, O Father, for this glorious opportunity to come and hear your word, O God.
Yes.
Lord Jesus Christ, remember each and every one of us, O God.
Yes.
From the youngest child to the eldest adult.
Yes.
Remember your servants, O God, this morning. Lord, I pray you give them your thoughts, your word to express yourself.
Yes.
And may we receive it, O God.
Yes.
Father, bless all that we say and do and think.
Yes.
As we commit it all into your hands. In your wonderful and precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians, if you have your Bibles, chapter 5, verse 14. Read a few scriptures here as you continue on. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting with verse 14. Scripture reads, "Now I exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient towards all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. Amen. So we're continuing on in the subject of prayer, and we're going to delve a little bit deeper into the subject. So just to recap, we talked about prayer, and it must be in the will of God. And so in finding the will of God through prayer. And then we talked about getting alone with God and how we receive revelation and inspiration from God as we are alone. And it takes the hypocrisy out of our prayer. He talks about being in the prayer closet. And then last Sunday, we talked about being prayed up and then developing a spiritual atmosphere around us and how it is the key to so much victory in the Lord. And we talked about how that can affect the congregation, a service, and that order. And so we can see more of the supernatural when we're in prayer and we are prayed up. And talked about the woman that was ready to go. It didn't matter what was going to happen. The boat was going to sink to the bottom of the ocean, but she was fine. Whether she made it or not, she was going to see her daughter if she made it. Or she was going to see the Lord and her daughter if she didn't make it as far as in the naturally, and the boat sank to the bottom of the ocean. So it is prayer is an important thing. And so we want to delve into that a little bit more, because it's not just something that the Lord is just telling us what to do, and it's a nice thing. But as we peel this back a little bit more, we find that it's a key to our spiritual walk. It is. And sometimes we as Christians, we may brush it off as something just too simple, but it is actually the key. And so we'd like to bring that forward this morning into how important it is a little further. So last Sunday, I said that the Lord willing, we are going to delve into it, how this is delving into the third pole. And so some of you may understand the third pole, some of you may not. Some of you are like a little bit fuzzy, say you do, but maybe you don't like we ought to. So I'm going to kind of lay that foundation a little bit. How many feels they understand what the third pole is? That you can raise your hand. Okay, so, but by God's grace, we're going to try to see if we can catch some folks. So, Brother Branham, the first time he mentions this is in 1956, and he knew nothing about it. He just received a vision. And so I'm going to kind of lay the foundation and show you the progression and highlight key points of what he's talking about, because How many understand that this is tied to the seventh seal or the revelation of Christ? Okay. But I'd just like to make that concrete a little bit more. Sometimes we understand things and it's kind of floating out there, but if we can understand fully and more clearly, it helps us in our faith and our walk. So in 1956, this is when Brother Branham first receives a vision of this. So never talked about it before, never heard about it before, but then he receives a vision. And so there are a few things that he talks about before that. He talks about catching a fish, and then he talks about a tent. So briefly, the fish, he was talking about three pulls for catching a fish. When you throw out a line, you may pull it once, you may pull it twice, but on the third time, you know, with that bait, you'll catch the right kind of fish. So he talks about the first pull is like you're lots of little bitty fishes, right? It's attracting them. And then the second is kind of similar, but it kind of pushes away some of those little fish. But then on the third one, you catch the really big fish that you're looking for, right? And so he says that is like the third pull. So there's something good about this third pull that's going to catch the right type of fish. And so that right type of fish is the bride of Jesus Christ, the one that truly cares about the Lord completely and wants everything that he has to give her. And so he's tying the third pull as catching the fish is catching you and I, okay? And so, you know, these other things, the first pull is going to attract the attention of a lot of other people, but they're going to go away at some point, and then this third pull is going to attract who are truly the seed of God. So then he goes on and he talks about this tent. And he says, and he shows that there is this big tent meeting, there is a prayer line, and there's a wooden structure, right? And so Brother Branham is speaking to the Lord away from that structure, but high above. Now, in this vision, then the pillar of fire is with him. And so then he says, so these people are coming through the prayer line, and all of a sudden this pillar of fire comes down to this structure. And the people walk through, and when they walk through, you know, they're crippled, maimed, all kinds of sicknesses, disease, etc. But when they walk through, when they come out, they're totally delivered. And so he says, you know, the light comes down there, they walk through this place, and then they're totally delivered. And so what he says is, I'll meet you in there. This is the third pull, right? Very big mystery, you know, tent, wooden structure, people there. But if we look at it from a carnal perspective, it's very hard to understand. But you see that's what it was. It was the pulls to scare away the little fish. And so the true bride of Christ, the true seed of God, is going to catch what he's saying here, right? Because she's wanting to pay attention to exactly everything that he's saying. And the bride of Christ, I believe, receives the message of the hour because it is the pathway to Christ. And so, you know, she may, you know, grow up in a denominational church, and she may even receive Christ in that denominational church, but she's not going to stay there, and so she's going to desire more and more of the revealed truth. And so the message of the hour is going to catch her attention. And so, you know, many of us experienced this. When we were going on our journey, there were a lot of people with us that were desiring to have a deeper walk with God. But at some point, all these people kind of fell away. But we stayed on, and even in the message of the hour, we stayed on. And so it was this, Brother Branham says this third pull, but it's the revealing of the mystery of Christ, of truly who he is. So there's certain things about Christ that throws people off, right? When they find out this about him, that he wants this and desires this, and they fall away. But the true bride of Christ says, it's fine, I don't understand it, but I'm going to still hold on to it because something is pulling me, and, you know, I don't know what it is, but, you know, I'm just going to continue on because it's an attraction. There's something because you are a part of it, right? So now he goes on to say, he talks a little bit further. I see them go through that little building. And on the outside, the lady come out screaming to the top of her voice, pushing the stretcher. Was another lady on the other side, looked like kind of a dark-haired woman. And she said, what happened? She said, I don't know. And you don't understand the supernatural many times when it happens. You just know that it is a supernatural. And so she said, I don't know. She said, I couldn't tell you what happened. Now it goes on to say, he says this. I'm going to kind of bring in a little bit of review here. It says, there is a difference between the angel of the Lord and that light because I heard something moving as it does when it comes here at the platform at night. Kind of, he went, whew. And like a fire whipping around, licking blaze, and it left me. And we know that the pillar of fire is the very presence of Christ, right? And it left me. And you see, remember when the Moabites and the Israelites, the difference, one of the differences was a pillar of fire. So they had the fundamentals. They had the scriptural knowledge of how to worship God. That they had to have this many altars, that they had to have everything written or done according to the pattern, right? But what they lacked was a pillar of fire. They lacked a vindicated prophet that showed that no shadow of a doubt that God was with this man. So now you see this pillar of fire. So this pillar of fire is a vindication. But remember, not everybody saw the pillar of fire. Right? Maybe Moses saw the pillar of fire and he was telling the people that this pillar of fire was there. Remember, Paul saw the pillar of fire, but those around him did not see the pillar of fire. And so you've got to have the supernatural, spiritual eyes to be able to see. So he says, and it left me and it went right down over the top of that building and went and stood over the top of that building and then settled down on top of it. And when it did, this one that was standing by me, behind me, the same voice, the angel's voice, he said, I'll meet you in there. And this is the third pole, but nobody will know nothing about it. So there is a secret to this third pole. And I said, why I don't understand. Why in there? Why there? And there's many times things of God we don't understand. Why this? Why that? We just stay with it. And then God eventually reveals that. Remember, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. And so as we wait on the Lord, then God opens these things up to us. Now he said, it will not be a public show this time. This is a private thing. It's a secret thing. It's a mystery. And I said, I don't understand going into the closet like that. Now God is opening up something here. Remember, he opens up a little bit here, a little bit there. And if we're patient, then God will put the pieces together and give the revelation. So he says, and he said, is not it written by our Lord when thou prayest, be not like the hypocrites who will like to be heard before men, but enter into the secret closet and pray to the Father who seeth in secret. And he who seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. It's perfectly to the scripture. Every time it is. So now he's giving an opening here that there's something about prayer and secret prayer that is linked to this third pull. Now we've got to be patient and look through this. It's, as you'll see, the mysteries of God. Remember, Brother Branham gives this principle. He says if there is a scriptural truth, you will find it through and through from Genesis to Revelation. And so now we're going to continue on, and we trust that the Lord will allow us to pick that up here. So he doesn't talk about it since 1956. The first time he brings it up again is in 1962 in this message, Present Stage of My Ministry. So we know that Present Stage of My Ministry is when God was doing something with the prophet. He's going to change his ministry into a deeper realm, in a more supernatural realm, right? And so this is when God is dealing with him about this third pole. We know that this is right before the seven seals are revealed, right? 1962. And this is what he says. He says, I was to go down in Mexico and how it would rain that night and what would take place down there. And he told me my ministry of the first pull. We know the first pull was the hand for his ministry that could reveal the diseases. Remember about catching that little bitty fish or missing it. Second one was a small fish. But then he told me on that third pull, don't fail, see? And don't tell me. I'm always trying to explain what I'm trying to do. Sometimes it's good to explain things, but sometimes we're not to explain things. And we just take it because it's not for everybody. Don't you know the scripture that says, give not your pearls before swine? And so the very pearls he's talking about is the very mysteries of God that he reveals. And so just don't throw that out to anybody. You know, a husband and a wife relationship, he only tells the wife certain secrets. He doesn't tell that to everybody. So you and I are in that relationship. And I don't tell people. I'm always trying to explain what I'm trying to do. He let me know not to tell people what you're doing. Just do what he tells me to do and let it alone. And so when you see a man of God and, you know, you don't understand, but you know that God is with this person. You've seen it proven. You've seen his ministry vindicated. Don't, just because you don't understand it, say something is off here. Pray to the Lord and let him reveal what is happening. Because that's the devil that's trying to get you off, right? Because the devil will throw everything at you to get you off of that word. And if that man is a vindicated man of God, that God has proven through the supernatural, he's going to fight that. Because if he gets you off that, he's going to get you off the word. Now, is this a sign of the end, sir, 1962? Is this the mystery of the thunders that will bring back the headstone? He's getting to something here. You know, the pyramid never was capped. The headstone is yet to come. It's been rejected. Now, I want you to catch something here. So he's talking about a deep mystery. He's talking about the revelation of the headstone, the capstone, and we're like, wow, sometimes, you know, the big, you know, mystery that's yet to be unfolded. And if we're not careful, we'll think carnally, because in the carnal sense, people are looking for some big, great thing, right? But now let's take the principles of Christ. Remember, as he opened, how we are to catch Christ is through simplicity and through humbleness, right? And so now we've got to see that this is going to come in a simple, humble way, okay? So the mystery, it sounds like great thunders and different things, but it's going to come in a way that most people are not going to catch it. Now, he says here, or is this that third pull that he told me 3 or 4 years ago? The first pull, you remember what happened. I tried to explain it. He said, don't do that. Second pull, he said, don't try. And I pulled anyhow. You remember. All you remember, it's on tape and everything. And then he said, now there's a third pull coming, but don't try to explain it. So again, when he reveals the mystery to you, you know, you really got to be careful of what you say about it, because it could just be for you. Now he says, you see how I approach this tonight? I don't know, but I feel duty bound to my church to say something. You draw your own conclusion. Now, will this be the mystery that would open up, that would bring Christ, bring a power to the church? So he doesn't totally know what this third pull, but he's saying, is this that? Could it be this? Right? And many times when God is getting us a certain direction, we say, could it be this? May it be this? And remember when we went through this, I think it was last Sunday or the Sunday before, trying to find the will of God, remember, it's through prayer, right? And so we don't totally know what the will of God is many times, but he's waiting for us to be patient and to be in prayer. And when we're in prayer, then he is guiding along the way. And so it's not clear totally, but then he starts to lean us a certain direction. Remember, he says, I see which way the Lord leans, and I'm neutral to it. I don't try to push any specific direction, But I wait on the Lord and see the continuous movement and leading of the Lord. And then I know I'm going in the right direction. And then he says, if your heart is right and you're sincere and you're trying to do the best that you can, if perchance you're going in the wrong direction, he'll correct you, right? And so we are, we are looking and going in that. And so it's not as clear. It may be gray, but he'll make it clearer as we're going along. Just as Paul says, we see darkly, but then we shall see clearly. And so that's this whole journey of Christ. So now he goes on. Did you catch that point a little bit? So it's a little bit fuzzy, but he's figuring out himself. You understand? Now he mentions this, and I just want to plant this seed, but this third pull is very supernatural because he said in the constellation of angels when he was caught up, right? And you have to catch these things. Sometimes you go, oh, that's just too much, too heavenly, or you get too attracted to it and you go overboard a little bit. And so he talks about how he was caught up and how God revealed this to him. But he says there were three different passes, and he talks about the first one was regular birds, the second one was doves. So you see the progression that's more and more cleaner, heavenly, spiritual, and then the last one was angels, right? And he says, and the third flight was angels, and that's the end time. That's all of it. Will this be the time, brother? Is this the time? We know that God is not perfected in two, but he's perfected in three. Amen. And so when this third pull comes, it will bring on the perfection. Now he says, I'm skipping on. This is after now. So he's preached this, God in simplicity. He's preached the seals. Now he's in question and answers on the seals. And he says this. He says, if you'll hold on here for a second. Okay. He says, now look here. Let me show you something. See, did you know there's 10,000s of voices in this room right now? So it's not just there. You know, it's everywhere. 10,000s of voices in this room right now, literally voices of people that's coming through the electronic waves of radio. Why don't you hear them? Their voices, is that right? Now he's bringing on a dimension that we don't see, right? This is not the heavenly dimension, but he's trying to make a point here. He says, voices of people that's coming through the electronic waves of radio, why don't you hear them? Their voices, is that right? They're waving right through here now. There's people, forms, and bodies moving right through this room now. Is that right? Well, why don't you see them? They're here, actual voices like my voice. Well, why don't you hear it? See, it's got to strike something first to reveal it. So that's how they discovered radio, is there was a crystal and some type of wavelength that they've tapped into. They found out that there's voices everywhere, and they could channel that into the sound and reproduce the sound or channel that to a sound. So that's in the, third or fourth dimension, one of those areas. But it's something that we cannot see with the visual eyes, but it's there. But now it's not the spiritual, okay, but he's trying to make a point here. He says this, so just don't interpret nothing. If God wants you to know anything, he will send it to you. Amen. So, right? Okay, so now it's not us doing something. It's God by his grace giving it to us, okay? So we don't do anything. God, by his grace, all he wants us to do is follow. So just be real, real solid now. Hold still. Something is happening. Now just be real. You understand what I mean, don't you? And just be. Don't try to make yourself odd to be a Christian because you see you take yourself away from God. And you. So he says, he makes these key statements. Try to make yourself. Okay, don't. Remember, it's rest. This is all about rest, not our works, rest. If you can understand it, this is that third pull. You should have caught that the other day, see? So then just you remember, there'll be no impersonation like there was of the other two. So we know that the sign in the hand, they try to impersonate it. The discerning the secrets of the heart, they try to impersonate it. But this cannot be impersonated. It won't be impersonated. It's so much of a secret that it cannot be. So you see that this is something that the rest of the world is not going to see. But it's a movement that's happening within the bride of Christ. You understand? And so there's a connection with the Spirit of God and the Spirit of God that is in the hearts of the believers. You understand? When somebody that's full of the Spirit of God and an anointed preacher, vindicated, and they begin to speak, and you're a bride of Christ, there is a connection that's made. You understand? Because you're of a like material. And so you feel that connection, and it brings you closer to God. And it brings you in unity with Christ, more in unity. So when you're under that, then it's actually trying to gather the family together. And so that's what he meant. When the shout came, then it was calling and bringing the people together, gathering them together. Now they're under that. Now they're coming more and more into unity. And then as they come into unity, they become one with Christ. So you know when that's happening, when you're talking to a child of God, and you're a child of God, there's a connection there. And so then it makes you happy. Something, it's not just on the outside, it's something deep. So now, he says, there's no impersonation of it. See, that's as far as you should know. Now, just remember that you see now there's something taking place in this room, and there's something here. There's actual, in this room, angels, voice of God. Okay, so angels, voice of God is happening in that room. I believe it's happening in this room. But how do if you can't hear the natural voice without something sending it out, talking about radio, how are you going to hear the spiritual voice? Now, you might make believe that something is singing this certain song that might not even be there, see? But when it actually strikes the crystal that it's supposed to strike, then it gives a true interpretation. And so there's ways that God gives that interpretation, right? But when it actually strikes it, then the revelation comes. Do you understand? And so you can see that, you know, that a prophet is given the gift to interpret the word of God. And so that is one method that God uses to strike the crystal, right? But you see, you and I, God is doing the same thing to you and I because it is the word. And so if you are a seed of God, that word is inside of you. And so that word can be revealed to you through what's inside. Now he says this. Now the Spirit of God, when it speaks through the true word, it vindicates itself to show itself that it's right. You understand now. All right, now let's just pray again. Now he goes, now, but you see, you can't say those things, best to just leave it alone. He's talking about presuming. So, you know, if you kind of think, don't say anything, right? Because God's word is 100%. But he says, now, and you remember the third point said, don't tell nobody, what did I say that? How many remembers that? Oh, sure, remember standing there trying to lace that eyelet in that little shoe in the vision. He said, you can't teach Pentecostal babies supernatural things. So again, he's showing the supernatural. Now, in that particular time, it was the difference between the Pentecostals and when God was revealing the word, right? So he's breaking out of that, right? In Jesus' day, it was the Pharisees and Sadducees, and he was breaking out of that, right? Because they had what was the most light of that day, but there was a movement in a supernatural way that God was bringing them out of that, right? And so I believe right now in the message of the hour that God is bringing this, the bride, out of that. Do you understand? And so he's pulling her away because you see there is a general movement of the message of the hour, but there is something going on within the bride of Christ, within her heart, that she's beginning to break away from this. And the further along we go, there'll be a bigger and bigger difference between the two. And so there will come more and more a time where this side will begin to attack this side if it's not already happening. He says, if you want something to happen, now you'll have to take my word for this. If I'm planning on doing something, I know better than to tell anybody about it. Now, not that that person will tell it, but Satan will hear it. See? So again, talking about the secret, not explaining everything. See, some, as we talked about, it can be just for you. Nobody else will understand it. But it's your own personal revelation that God has given to you that is so real. More real than this thing that you see right before you. But it's become so real in your heart. But it may be just for you. Not that person will tell, but Satan will hear it. See, he can't get it in my heart there as long as God's got it closed up with the Holy Spirit. So it's between me and God. See, he don't know nothing about it until you speak it. Then he hears it. And I've tried, I tell people I'll do a certain thing and watch the devil cut off every wheel he can get there to beat me to it. But if I can get the revelation from God and just don't say nothing about it, then it's different. So there are times that we talk, there's times that we don't talk. Amen. Remember, Satan will try to impersonate. He will try to impersonate everything that the church will do. And now he's also building patience within us, self-control and discipline. Sometimes, you know, we want to just do things and, you know, we feel this urge, but he wants us to be in a way that God's word controls us for every movement. You know, we might have a desire, I really got to get this out. Hold on. And you just stay still and you just listen to God, because that word is paramount and it holds you. It's like Paul said as a prisoner, it holds you. Amen. You want to do something, but you just hold him by that word. Not that that person will tell. Okay, now, this is one thing he cannot impersonate. There'll be no mimics because he don't know it. There's no way for him to know it. It's the third pull. He just knows nothing about it. See, he doesn't understand it. So this is what Jesus was referring to in Matthew 16. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You see how it ties? Everything is getting tied together here. So he doesn't say third pull in Matthew 16, but that's what he's referring to. He's talking about the revelation that you alone know, and it gives you a power. It gives you a faith. It gives you something that's 100% that you can stand against anything the devil throws at you that is contrary to it, because it is solid. And so that is the power. It is not something that we can learn. It is something that God has given to you by grace. 7th seal, he says, and just when he picked me up and he took me up and set me up high to where a meeting was going on, looked like a tent. So he reviews that. Now it says that will be the third pull. I'm going to continue on here. Now, he says, skip that. Okay, perfect faith, the message, perfect faith, 1963. This is after the seals. Now, he understands more about what this is, this third pull and the mystery of it. Okay, he says this is coming into that third pull. I believe it. Now I want to ask you a sincere question. You that pass through the prayer line, can you actually believe and feel now that there is something happened in you since you've had hands laid on you? Raise your hand. This is it. This is what we've waited for. See, so first pull and second pull is moving God into the revelation to a higher realm, right? Just like as we're moving into God in a higher realm from justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost into the perfection, he's moving us along that way. So this is coming to the third pull. I did this for a purpose. I did this for a purpose. I'm working out something. See? So he understands something in his heart, and so he's trying to, by God's grace, work that through the people. I did this for a purpose. I did this for a purpose. I'm working out something. It's taking this charge of faith and going right back to begin and come in, see, to kind of raise faith in a bracket where you've never noticed it that way before. Not a faith, but a perfect faith. So Remember, he established faith in his ministry early on, but now we're moving into a higher level, a higher bracket of faith. We're moving on into the very realms of Christ. Do you understand? Because when you move in the very realms of Christ, there's no doubt. There's no shadow of doubt. And there is no thing that the devil can do. You're totally overcomer. Amen. And so that is where God is bringing us to, into that realm of perfect faith. Build it up in here and watch a perfect God work up with a perfect heart, keep a perfect promise by his perfect word, which is sharper than a two-edged sword and a discerner of the thoughts of the heart. What? We're coming now to the perfection because the people has to come to this in order for the rapture. So this third pull and this higher bracket of faith is going to bring us into the rapture. So if he's talking about these things and I'm paying attention to this, I'm wanting to pay attention to this. I trust you are desiring to pay attention to this. That's what's holding it right now, is waiting for that church to come into that perfect raptured faith. Looking for it means a lot of shaving down for me. It means a lot of shaving for you. But together we'll make it by the grace of God. So there is a journey. There is a process. And God is doing that, right? Right now as we speak. So I'm going to see how far we can get here. Souls that are in prison now, he speaks of this. And I don't want to go too far on this because I want to really try to see, show you by God's grace how it ties to prayer. I think we've made that point. But there is, as this third pull begins to manifest itself, there comes a pulling away, as I talked about, right? And there comes a way that this side will see that there is a true manifestation of Christ in there, but it's too late for them. And so it's like Jesus when he was down in the preaching to the souls in prison. They could not do anything about it. They knew that he was a Christ. They knew who he was, but they could not do anything about it. But he had to preach to them nonetheless. The pattern has to follow because it happened in Noah's day too. You know, he had to preach to them even though they were totally lost. Even the doors were shut. You know, and the judgment was coming. They knew that Noah was right, but yet there was no way into that ark at that point. You understand? So there comes a point when the iniquity of the Gentiles is full. So this pulling away that takes place, they go into darkness and they see the full manifest. It's going to be the brightest time of the bride of Christ. And she's going to see it, but she cannot do anything about it. And that's the same thing that happened Jesus with the Pharisees. Jesus was pulling away, and he was entering the fullness of his ministry. The fullness of his ministry didn't look like it because it was a crucifixion on the cross. And you see, the way up is down. And it was such a humble thing. It just threw them off. But you look at the power that occurred after the crucifixion, right? And so there was no denying what Jesus did, but they could not accept it. They could not do anything about it. So the same thing with the third pull. So he likens it the same to Abraham. He says that third messenger that went down there, the third pull, what was he? What kind of a ministry did he have? He sat with the elected. Because he talks about the first pull being to righteous Lot. The second one was being the messengers that went down to Sodom. The third pull was the third messenger when he went down there, Christ himself in the form of a man. And he says, he sat with the elected and told them what was taking place behind him. That right, but when he stepped off into Babylon or into Sodom, he wanted to find even Abraham crying, if I could find 50 righteous. Remember, Abraham represented the elected. And look at the heart of Abraham. Even though their sin was as scarlet and all the things that he was doing, he still pleaded for them, right? And Brother Branham says this. He says, you women that's called holy roller, you little man that don't hardly know anything, but you cry to God day and night for the sins of the country, you might be the one that's holding off the wrath, just like Abraham was trying to do. If I can't find 10, I'll spare it. If I can't find 10, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be. See what I mean? So remember, that is a distinction of those who truly have the Holy Ghost, is those that sigh and cry for the sins of the people. So that manifestation has to come in us, brothers and sisters. Now he says this, I'm going to try to hit some highlights so we can catch this. He says, in the message, souls that are in prison now, he says, remember all this time Noah was in the ark. The bride is sealed in with Christ. Just like Noah was sealed into the ark. The last member has been redeemed. The sixth seal has produced itself. The seventh seal brings him back to earth. So you remember the angel came down and put 1 foot on the sea, 1 foot on the earth. That's you and I, brothers and sisters. That's bringing Christ down to earth in the form of the bride. The seventh seal is going to do that. So he says this, the Lamb come and took the book out of the right hand of him and sat down and claimed what he owned, what he had redeemed. That right, it's always been that third pull. So I'm just going to summarize here just because of time, but if you listen to the message, look away to Jesus, 1963, he talks about the third pull again, but he talks about how there's the vindication of the third pull. Remember, the third pull is a revelation of Christ himself in the whole entire person, right? But the vindication of that happened at least five times in Brother Branham's ministry and proved that it was with him. You understand what those were? It was with Hattie Wright when the spoken word was talked about. It was the squirrels. It was talking to the storm. It was a tumor. It was, I can't remember the last one, but you all know what I'm talking about. But it was the power that showed, just like in Genesis, the power of the spoken word. But that was not the third pull, but what is the vindication that the third pull was there in the ministry. It was to prove to you and I that the ministry, that the seventh angel had the word of God. And so it was us to see that this is the direction we need to go. He says it is in existence, this third pull, when Brother Branham was here. And he says it's going to come into full manifestation as things begin to press on the bride. He says the third pull is properly identified. See, we know where it is, so the third pull is here. This will be the thing that, to my opinion, I don't say the Lord tells me this, this will be a thing that will start the rapturing faith for the going away. So remember, that's 1963, so he's seeing it's going in that direction. Now, I'm going to leave this thought with you as we close for today's session. If you bear with me, because I want to make sure I get this one right. Okay. I'll say a couple things here. Remember, he says that this, in question and answers, he said that this third pull, or the speaking of the word to us, it does all these things, but it is not us that calls it. It is sovereignly given to us. So he talks about how when the squirrels were spoken, it was not something that he says, I want squirrels to come. It was God spoke to him and said, you say it, and I'll vindicate it. And so God gave it to him. So it's not something you seek on your own again. It is something that's sovereignly given to you. He says this, it's in expectation, this is 1950, it's prayer that I depend on. Amen. That's the secret of all the mysteries of God. Amen. That's the key that opens a door to everything. Amen. Of God. Amen. Is prayer. Amen. So simple. Amen. Goes to the top of everybody's head. Amen. But yet it is the key. You see, it's not some great big thing. It's very simple and very humble. Let's all stand if we would. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Father. Lord Jesus, we are such a privileged people, not just a privilege, O Lord, just beyond measure, O Father, that you have allowed us to be able to see the things that we see, dear Lord. And Lord Jesus, just in our heart, we just want to give everything to you, Lord, because you loved us. Lord, continue to open to us, O Father. Help us to be attentive, O Lord. Shake off the distractions, O Lord, and become more focused. Each one of us, our prayer life, O Lord, our time with you could be better, O Father. It's not a legalistic thing, we understand. It's not a amount of time per se, but it's that true, sincere time that we have with you, O Lord. If we can just have you always on our mind, O Father, in our hearts, constantly, I know that's what you're asking of us. Amen. Lord, help us, dear Lord. Help each one of your children, O Lord. Lord, bless the song service, the preaching of the word, O Lord. Bring the people into unity of Christ, O Lord. Bring us into more of a realm that we could see you clearer, O Father. Bless those that are not here with us. Keep them, O Father. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord.